The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Reason that 911 now has to answer calls with, is this a real emergency or is there just a black person nearby? Now, as we take this show right now tonight, the Unite the Right 2 rally is winding down. A massive dozens of white nationalists apparently gathered in DC where they were met by hundreds of counter-protesters calling them all arseholes. And look, while that numerical discrepancy is heartening, let's not get too reassured here, because this week also brought a visceral reminder of the problems that we're facing.
1 year after Charlottesville, look at these numbers. 49%, half of Americans believe their president is a racist. Just every time I look at those numbers, it just stuns me.
Yeah, because it is stunning. Because it is both shocking that it's 49%, and it is equally shocking that it's only 49%. Because it's not like he's been hiding it. It has been his brand for decades now. It's like only 49% of people thinking that Kermit is a frog. It's in his name. Whether you like or hate that about him, you have to admit he's a fucking frog. Now, today's demonstration is just the culmination of a week in which America's regular dog whistle racism became uncomfortably loud. And perhaps there is no better example of this than Fox News host Laura Ingraham, who caused a real stir with this.
In some parts of the country, it does seem like the America that we know and love doesn't exist anymore. Massive demographic changes have been foisted upon the American people. And they're changes that none of us ever voted for and most of us don't like. Much of this is related to both illegal and, in some cases, legal immigration that, of course, progressives love.
Wow. She just came right out and said it in a scripted commentary straight down the camera, knowing her mic was on. No economic anxiety, no some of them are good people, just I don't want people who don't look like this here. You almost want to give her credit for honesty there and then deduct twice as much credit because she's just being honest about how racist she is. And while Ingraham later tried to say that her remarks had nothing to do with race, it is worth noting that no less an authority than David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Klan, called it one of the most important truthful monologues in the history of the mainstream media.
Oh my God.
When the former head of the Klan likes what you're doing, that should give you real pause. Let me put it this way. If immediately after this taping, Dr. Larry Nassar caught me in the hallway and said, hey man, love the show, I'd think long and hard about what the fuck I just said.
Yes, you would. Because, you know, you're a thinking, feeling, caring human being. I'm glad that the Unite the Right 2 day of bigotry and racism fizzled out. Two dozen or so of them showed up in Washington, D.C. And John Oliver said hundreds of counter-protesters showed up. I think it was more like thousands. And a similar happening in Charlottesville as well, where, you know, the Nazis and the white supremacists and the despicable people, they really didn't turn out in big numbers. But, the good people of the world did. So that's good. I'm glad that there wasn't a big news story for us to talk about today having to do with that. But unfortunately, everything else has been overpowered by Omarosa. This woman who I give her credit, in some sense for shameful self-promotion. She, you know, this was her second time working in the White House. How she ever got into the White House in the first place, I don't know. She's a veteran of many reality TV shows. And no, I do not use the term reality TV star because, sorry, being on a reality TV show does not make you a star. It makes you a contestant. So she was a reality TV show contestant. But now she's, you know, she was Donald Trump's favorite, I guess, for a while. But now that she's turned the tables on him, she was fired after all. Now he calls her a dog. He calls her a lowlife. And in one of the tweets, and I forgive me for not having his tweets at my fingertips. I rarely read Donald Trump's tweets. I do have on my tweet deck his a column of his tweets. But here's one that he wrote. When you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog. The tenses don't even match. He's just such a he's an ignoramus. My God, oh my God. So unfortunately, because Congress is out, the House is out until after Labor Day. The Senate is out for another week or two. And yes, Speedbird 9, I will tell that to the Kardashians. The Kardashians are reality show contestants as well. They're not stars. I'm sorry. They're famous for being famous. They're not, they don't have any discernible talents that I have, been able to discern as of yet. No. Oh yeah. So sorry. I looked up at the chat room and Ivanka too. I lost my train of thought. Okay. Oh, so the Senate is out for another week or so. The House is out. Trump has been on a quote working vacation. I think he returns to the White House today. So there's very little like hard news going on, while everyone's been on vacation. So, you know, it makes our late night comedians all sort of singing the same song.
It confirmed that he is truly a racist.
This is huge. This is huge, John. Finally.
Big move. We didn't know.
Finally, we didn't know. Finally, we have proof.
We didn't know.
That the guy who refused to rent to black tenants said that a Nazi Klan rally had some fine people and called Africa a hole. Is a racist. She's not below anyone else in the White House. She and General Kelly may have completely different pasts, but they have exactly the same future. You can never scrub off the Trump stank.
In her new book, Omarosa claims that she once walked in on Trump in the Oval Office eating a piece of paper. Like eating paper. On the bright side, that's actually the healthiest thing he's ever eaten. But still.
For the record, I don't believe Trump would eat paper. I mean, that's what he has Mike Pence for, right? I tell you, I can't believe that Omarosa would do this, would secretly record the president of the United States. I mean, that doesn't seem at all like something she would most definitely do.
Trump tweeted, quote, wacky Omarosa, who got fired 3 times on The Apprentice, now got fired for the last time. She never made it, never will. Well, actually, she did make it.
Mm-hmm.
You hired her for a job
yep.
in the White House after she got fired 3 times on The Apprentice. That's like getting cut 3 times from the Mets and thinking, I'm going to try out for the Yankees.
Now, as usual, when one of Trump's people turns on him, the White House runs its smear campaign playbook, right? They say the person has always been trash. With Omarosa, they've dismissed her as a lying, publicity-hungry reality star who only cares about enriching herself. And when Trump heard that, he was like, are you guys looking at my resume? Are you?
Yeah, see, even all the late night comics, they all had to go the Omarosa route. I'm waiting for, it's the dog days of August. This is when, you know, people are supposed to go on vacation and news isn't supposed to be happening. And if it weren't, I guess we should be thankful for Omarosa's book, Unhinged, because it's given us Well, at least giving them something to talk about. We've got lots to talk about. It's Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh is here. I did scrape together a 6 minutes of what's news now. If I can only get my tongue and my brain to work together, we'll be in good shape. So I will attempt to do that while we listen to What's News and come back on the other side with Gotta Laugh next. How's that?
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Peter Strzok, the FBI counterintelligence agent who came under withering criticism from Republicans for a series of anti-Trump text messages he sent during the 2016 campaign, was fired on Friday. According to Strzok's lawyer, Aiden Goldman, an internal disciplinary review had recommended Strzok's demotion and a 60-day suspension. But Goldman said Monday that the deputy director of the FBI overruled that determination and decided to fire him.
I don't think that you can rationally reach any conclusion other than it was political. Pete, along with several other employees who sent anti-Trump texts, were referred to the Office of Professional Responsibility, or OPR. That's a division within the FBI that is in charge of internally disciplining agents. And we had a process, a normal process, where we engaged with OPR and submitted something in writing and went in and orally presented. And they decided that what the appropriate punishment should be is a 60-day suspension, demotion, and signing what's called a last chance letter, which basically is a double secret probation and says that you can be fired if you do anything else wrong. That decision was overruled by the deputy director of the FBI. It's something that he had the authority to do because it was delegated from the director of the FBI, but it is a vanishingly rare occurrence for things to happen this way. And it's difficult to believe, given the steady drumbeat of text demonizing Pete from the president and all the calls on Capitol Hill by Republicans for Pete to be fired, that that didn't play a role in the Bureau's ultimate decision.
Donald Trump on Monday signed a $716 billion defense policy bill named for Senator John McCain, but included no mention of McCain in his remarks at the signing. CNN's Jake Tapper explains.
I want to thank our wonderful Vice President Mike Pence. I want to thank General Dunford, General Milley, General Neller, Admiral Richardson, General Goldfein, General Engel, and Vice Admiral Ray. A very special thank you to the Commanding General of the 10th Mountain Division, Congresswoman Martha McSally. Congresswoman. Thank you, Martha.
That was President Trump just a few minutes ago, thanking a laundry list of people before officially signing the John S. McCain National Defense Authorization Act. One person who wasn't on that list of people that he thanked, outspoken Trump critic and the namesake of the bill, Senator John McCain, you know, the decorated war hero who was a prisoner of war and continues to serve as a United States senator, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. The bill the president signed, it's called the John S. McCain National Defense Authorization Act. No mention of him by the president today. Today, McCain took the high road and issued a statement saying, "I'm humbled that my colleagues in Congress chose to designate this bill in my name. Serving as chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee and working on behalf of America's brave service members has been one of the greatest honors of my life." One person who was clearly thinking of him during the ceremony, his wife Cindy McCain, who tweeted, "I'm so proud of Senator John McCain and his work on NDAA. Incredibly humbled at the naming of this after my husband. And since President Trump would not do it, let us here on the lead congratulate Senator John McCain and his family and thank him for his service to the country."
As the president wraps up his vacation at his New Jersey golf club, he's fighting back against allegations in a new book by former Apprentice contestant and White House aide Omarosa Manigault Newman. She claims in her book that the Trump campaign offered her a $15,000 a month job in exchange for signing an NDA that would have barred her from disclosing details of her time at the White House. The Washington Post reporting that dozens of White House aides have signed NDAs in exchange for working for Trump, who has long relied on such agreements in his business. Under one agreement from the 2016 campaign, signers promised not to demean or disparage publicly Trump, his company, or any member of his family, and also not to assist any other politician exploring a federal or state office. Nondisclosure agreements have not been widely used by past administrations, in part because most legal experts believe such agreements are not legally enforceable for public employees. The prosecution in the Paul Manafort trial rested on Monday afternoon.
10 days, 27 witnesses. The prosecution rested their case just before 5 o'clock today. This was after they had called Rick Gates, Manafort's right-hand man, who testified over 2.5 days. It all goes to their allegations that Manafort had filed false tax returns, did not disclose foreign bank accounts, which they say he did not pay taxes on $16 million. The jury also heard a story of how Manafort had defrauded banks out of $20 million by not giving truthful information to them about the conditions and the parameters of his income that related to these loans. The government ended their case today, with the jury hearing a lot from one of those bankers who testified that he would not have recommended that the bank give the loan, but he said that it went ahead anyway because the chairman of the bank, Stephen Koch, had authorized it. And Koch, of course, the jury had heard testimony earlier in the week that he was trying to get a position in the administration, and that is why he expedited these loans.
Tuesday is primary day in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Connecticut, and Vermont. Get out and vote. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, it is that time of the week again. We get together with our pal Gotta Laugh and shoot the shit about what's going on in the news. We just go through her Twitter feed and pull out the interesting stuff. But first, we got to get her on the line. Hello?
Yes, you've reached the Trump's a racist hotline.
Ah, okay. Yes, he is.
Press 1 if you think Trump said, me, racist? I'm always for the underdog. Those poor Nazis were vastly outnumbered by mobs of angry low IQ black people.
Yeah.
Press 2 if you think Trump said, I already said I'm against all racists, even those little crybaby Mexican bullies who force our brave ICE officers to work day and night like slaves to put them in cages. Poor guys.
Yeah.
Press 3 if you think Trump said, me, racist? Wacky, not smart, Omarosa the dog is the racist. She recorded one of my best white people threatening her in my Situation Room. No racist. No racist. You're the racist.
You're the racist.
That wasn't easy. I have been sitting here trying to read all the feeds of Huckabee S.
Yes.
Doing her White House lying session as we speak, and apparently it's getting a little interesting. I can try to catch some more of the Daniel Dale ones because he does a live tweet and I have him on a special feed.
Uh-huh.
So we'll get to those. But I have a ton of tweets, including some from today from that White House lying session.
Okay,
so
good.
You want to get right to it?
Right before we do, there's a couple of very brief updates to what's news since, I record it early in the morning. The update is Paul Manafort's defense rested. Without calling a single witness or anything. So
I
guess they move on to closing statements now. The speculation now is that Manafort is signaling to Donald that he'll take a pardon.
Well, that's what I've thought all along, actually, that the reason he didn't make a deal is because he assumed he was going to get pardoned.
Yep.
And they're first going to go into a meeting with the judge about charges and what to tell the jury.
Right.
And then tomorrow they'll have closing statements, 2 hours each. And the 2 hours for the prosecution includes rebuttal. So they'd probably do, I'm just guessing, an hour and a half of closing, a half hour of rebuttal. And just because they don't put anybody up as a witness for the defense doesn't, that happens. It's because either they feel comfortable with what they've done and or they figure if they add anything, they'll blow it because they're comfortable with what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
There's a million. I have a whole thread on this somewhere about why they might not have put. But the main thing is everybody thinks that the prosecution's case was really, really strong. There was also a problem possibly with one of the jurors, and there was some concern about having a mistrial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happened on Friday when they were delayed for so long. And then there was another delay again, I guess, this morning or earlier today. Anyway, well, that part of the trial is over. I think it's just, so much of it was a document-based case. They had no defense.
How can you
witnesses,
rebut it? Right, exactly. Right? They can poke holes in Gates because he's also a liar. But Gates wasn't necessary to the case. He was a witness that they needed to call, they felt, because if they didn't, there'd be a big hole and everybody would wonder why. And then the defense would use him as a witness. So they called him. They put him in between the paper trail so that he was sandwiched. So he wasn't the primary witness. It was paper trail, paper trail, paper trail. Oh, yeah, here's a guy. And paper trail is called a sandwich. So I think that despite anything that the defense might have done to poke holes in the case, they can't poke holes in this case. They really can't.
Right. No. So we'll see what happens. I know the judge was very hard on the prosecution, apparently not quite so hard on the defense. It sounds like this judge is a real dick. I mean, he just every report I heard about him sounds like just an asshole.
He's supposedly, though, a really good judge. And sometimes when he acts like a dick, he's helping the case because he's getting rid of the extraneous stuff and keeping them from having a challenge, an appeal.
Right.
So, he is a dick. And everyone who's ever talked on TV that has been before him and every lawyer has said, yes, this is who he is. Yes, this is what he does. He's also brilliant. And here's why he does it. So they all kind of excuse it with a kind of a wink, wink. Yeah, he's a dick.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, but I heard a number of attorneys, former, state's attorneys who've argued in front of him who say they don't like being in his courtroom because he is an asshole.
No, right. It's not easy. They have all said they've been scarred.
Yeah.
That's how they've been wording it.
They've been scarred.
The
other story, real quick,
about
the NDAs, which I had in the What's News. Trump's campaign is suing Omarosa for breaking her NDA. She did sign one for the campaign. She didn't sign one for the White House. Apparently, the Trump campaign retained Hulk Hogan's lawyer, Charles Harder, for this lawsuit against Omarosa.
Yeah, I have a tweet about that, in fact. That's kind of funny.
Let's bring out the birds.
Welcome to my tweet
spot. Let loose the birdies. Okay.
This is where Laffy gives everyone the bird. Okay, some of these are from yesterday, but they kind of carry over. But this is today's section, and there's a lot. There's a whole lot, more than usual. Katrina Pearson.
Yeah, she's back.
She's back, and she's denying things that Omarosa said. And meanwhile, let's remember this. In 2012, she tweeted, "Perfect Obama's dad born in Africa, Mitt Romney's dad born in Mexico. Any pure breeds left?"
Oh, my God.
And that was in response to watching the CNN debate in 2012. And today she said, when I was on the phone with Omarosa, that call that they recorded with her, Omarosa recorded of Katrina Pearson saying that apparently they were concerned about the N-word thing. Katrina Pearson came out today and said, "Well, I was just placating her. I got so weary of her always pushing this N-word thing. I just placated her." Well, you know what? That's a weird thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. So
is that what they're called?
Yesterday, placating? Yesterday she lied and said we never had that phone call. That phone call didn't happen. So today, Omarosa releases a recording of the phone call, and Katrina Pearson says, "Well, I lied to her just to placate her,
just
to keep it moving along."
Yeah, bullshit.
So
okay.
Yeah, were you lying then, or are you lying now?
Right. It's complete. They're stuck. When she comes in with tapes, they can't argue. And they can try to say, "Well, what was the beginning and what was the end of that tape? We don't have full context. Or did she do anything?" But nobody's really saying that those tapes aren't real.
Nope.
So anyway, here's something that people didn't really notice yesterday, because a whole lot of my tweets are about, unfortunately, about Omarosa, because that's all anyone's talking about, like you said in What's News, but or just before What's News. But Russian, this is from defenseone.com, Okay. And I just, my tweet was, holy crap. Russian military spy software is on hundreds of thousands of home routers. So when they were saying turn off, you know, flip your router on and off and to reboot it to get rid of the opportunity, apparently this spy software is already on hundreds of thousands of home routers.
Oy, great.
Good time. Yay. Feel secure. And meanwhile, cybersecurity chief, no, we don't have one. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yep. That role doesn't exist.
Yeah. Okay, this was kind of interesting. ex-Trump aide Seb Gorka is giving out fake Fox News business cards.
I thought he worked for Sinclair.
I don't know who he works for anymore. I've got to open this up. Wait, did I already open this up? Let's see. No, I didn't. I can open up the link. Let's see what it says. And it's loading. Okay, here we go. This is from Mediaite. Trump's former aide, Gorka, is giving out phony cards. Gorka, who was fired from his nebulous role at the White House, has been giving out business cards that include his personal information, like his Gmail address and cell phone number, as well as a poorly edited and outdated Fox News logo.
Wow.
Behold his card, and they show it when compared to the the real card, and they show the real card. Mediaite was informed about Gorka's custom-made stationery by a reporter working at a print publication. Okay, looking for where he's working. Oh, it doesn't really say.
Right.
Okay, they don't really go into that. So sorry, don't have that info.
Oh, well.
All right.
Maybe he's working nowhere now, and that's why he's got fake business cards.
Yes, exactly. What a stupid thing to do. How stupid do you have to be?
Idiots.
This is from Astead Wesley, who is a New York Times national politics reporter. He says this is a real headline in 2018, and he puts rural Alabama charter opens as first integrated school in Sumter County.
What?
Yeah, that's a real headline.
Wow. And the year again, it's 2018, right?
2018. This is from articles.alabama.com.
Wow.
Rural charter opens as first integrated school in Sumter County. Can you even believe this? This is the way Trump would love it if they had never done that.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Empty Wheel, our buddy.
Mm-hmm.
She's responding to Trump saying, another terrorist attack in London. These animals are crazy and must be dealt with through toughness and strength. And she says, waiting for Donald to call Forrest Gordon Clark, the sovereign citizen accused of setting the holy fire in Los Angeles, an animal.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do stuff like that because he's Trump.
Yeah.
Okay, so Manafort, this is from thehill.com. Manafort asked Kushner for help in securing the position for that guy, Calk, the banker, and received the response from Kushner, on it. So Kushner was in on hiring this banker to be like Secretary of Treasury or the Army or whatever.
Yeah, it was Secretary of the Army. That's
well, it was a bunch of stuff. Yeah. He had a list.
Oh, my God.
He had a list of about 10 secretary jobs. He undersecretaries, secretaries. The first one was Secretary of the Army. Then there was Secretary of the Treasury and a bunch of others. And then also ambassador positions. And there were 10 ambassador positions. He said, I wanted to do I forgot where it was, England or something, because I lived there for so long. I don't know, something like that. And then Maddow posted the emails. Jared, I'm attaching resumes of three individuals who should be a part of the Trump administration. All are supporters since before the nomination was secured and have been active in the campaign. The three individuals are people who I believe advance Donald Trump agenda. They would be totally reliable and responsive to the Trump White House. I'm available to give you details, blah, blah. And then the answer was on it from Kushner.
Wow.
Maddow tweeted the on it, and our buddy David Waldman, Kagro X, said, because who gives a shit about the U.S. Army, right?
Now we've got the Space Force.
Well, I mean, this is perfect. This is, you know, how Trump's always shooting off his mouth about the military. Mm-hmm. And here we have his campaign manager trying to get a banker a job as Secretary of the Army.
It's unbelievable. The levels of incompetence are just stunning.
It is stunning. It's mind-boggling.
Yep.
Josh Charles, the actor who used to be on
I have a Josh Charles story. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. He retweeted me once. I was so proud of that because I really like him. I think he's really smart. Uh-huh. Anyway, Jeff Flake had tweeted, "This kind of language is unbecoming of a president of the United States. There is no excuse for it, and Republicans should not be okay with it." And so Josh Charles tweets, "Less tweeting, more doing. That's the power of Home Depot." And then Elizabeth de la Vega, the one who blocked you, she's a former U.S. attorney. She said, "Well, what are you going to do about it, Jeff Flake? How about calling upon the president to resign? How about mobilizing all of your colleagues to pressure him to resign? How about advocating for the removal of the president under the 25th Amendment? How about advocating for impeachment?" How about that?
How about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another Jeff Flake.
Jeff Flake pisses me off because he and Bob Corker, you know, they'll both criticize, whenever. But they vote with him. They give him the votes that he needs instead of, you know, Jeff Flake actually is the reason he did one thing right. He went to, I want to say, Zimbabwe, because the Senate was supposed to be in session this whole time to push through all these judges. And instead, Jeff Flake went off to Zimbabwe, where I guess he did some of his Mormon work. That he was going to be there for 2 weeks. So they couldn't, because he's on the Judiciary Committee, they couldn't advance any judiciary nominees out or judicial nominees out of the committee. So that's the reason that McConnell wanted to keep the Senate in session to push through more of these judges. And Jeff Flake held that up. So I guess I shouldn't be so rough on him, but there's so much more he could do.
That was a good move. But his votes are all, the other way. So
Yeah,
he talks big. And I'm sure he means it. I'm sure he's sincere in what he says, but then his actions don't match what his words say.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Our Dean Obadala, who is terrific on Sirius XM, he says, "As a lawyer, I'd recommend Omarosa sue Trump for defamation for calling her a liar about Trump using the N-word. Then she can subpoena Mark Burnett and his company for the footage from The Apprentice that shows Trump saying the N-word."
Ooh. And Omarosa, apparently on one of these appearances, said the name of the person who played the tape for her, allegedly.
Oh, she did? I didn't catch that.
Yes. I don't recall who it was. It was a name I didn't recognize. But she outed the person who allegedly has this tape. So if it exists, I can't imagine this person's not being bombarded now from reporters trying to get a hold of this tape.
And I did see somebody who said he used to work on the show and did say the tapes exist. So everybody's saying it, but, unfortunately.
Except Mark Burnett, of course. Because Mark Burnett,
he's a supporter. Yeah,
Mark Burnett came out and said that told Donald Trump that no tape exists of him saying it. Because Donald Trump needed somebody to tell him if a tape exists of him saying the word that he allegedly never said.
Yeah, because he's not worried at all.
Right.
No, he probably made up that whole tweet anyway. He probably never spoke to Mark Burnett.
Yeah, probably not.
And the other problem is, even if that comes out and he's saying the word, His supporters
won't care.
They don't care. Nope. But it could swing other people. So that's why it's important.
Yep.
You know, everyone's writing to me, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, well, no, it doesn't matter to the 30% of the 20 of the
27%.
Yeah, it's nothing. Right. So, yeah, whatever. Jared Yates Sexton of Salon says the president is feuding with his former reality TV contestant employee and claiming he doesn't know a racial slur the day after he posed for pictures with neo-Nazi bikers. I am so tired. I am so tired.
We're all tired. So, we all need a vacation.
We all need one.
A vacation from Trump. We need him to just stop.
We ought to have a Trump holiday. We could name it after him so he'd like that and he'd say, yes, let's have a Trump holiday. But what he wouldn't know is that the Trump holiday means he can't open his mouth or tweet for 24 hours.
Yeah, good luck to us on that.
McDear, USA, he's a government lawyer. He's pretty good. He's quoting Ken Delaney and saying, breaking, and this is something I actually saw happen when Omarosa was on with Katie Turr today. She was, and I'm going to read the tweet. Omarosa tells Katie Schur just now she has talked to Robert Mueller's office and, quote, there was a lot of corruption, quote, unquote, in the campaign and the administration. She says Trump knew about hacked emails before they were released. It was very, very, like, she was sure of it. You know, that was one of her her very definitive statements. And then he said, McDear says, we are cursed to have the world's least credible source revealing the world's most important piece of information. But I believe her on a lot of this stuff. I don't know if all of it is true, but she's backing some of it up. So if she can back it up, I'm with her on that stuff.
Right.
I can't stand her. I watched her on Big Brother last year.
Did you?
Or this year, earlier this year. Right. Yeah. Hated her. Just hated her. She has a really ingratiating side occasionally. She sounds very sincere and warm when she wants to, just talking to people. But she had that whole bitch thing going on and that whole looking in the camera and acting very confident that she was going to do this and she was going to win. And she, you know, and she's complete bullshit. But if she can back up her statements, I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, keep those tapes coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan Jewell. Who looks like a regular old
Twitter person. A listener. He's a listener.
Oh, that's Jonathan Jewell.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize it was
Jonathan
him. JJ.
Jewell. Yes.
J. Jewell. Okay, sorry, didn't realize. He said, well, I'm glad I got his tweet up here.
Yeah.
Totally didn't connect that in my head. Isn't that funny? I'm thinking, that sounds familiar.
He's one of our regulars.
And I'm following him, of course, but I was thinking, you know, all right. I asked Ed Henry from Fox News for his response that Katrina Pearson lied to him on air about Omarosa. This was his response. And then it says Ed Henry has blocked him.
Wow. Oh, that's funny.
Ed Henry blocked you.
That's
you were blocked
funny.
From following.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Jonathan. And sorry I didn't connect you up in my head with knowing you. I'm very sorry about that. I was rushing through these. Ashley Feinberg. Okay. I love her. She's with HuffPost. Her tweets are so funny. And she's tweeting Yasir Ali saying Trump campaign retains Hulk Hogan lawyer, like you were saying, Charles Harder, for arbitration action against Omarosa. And she says, actually, Omarosa is good now. Actually, Omarosa is good now that they've hired Hulk Hogan's lawyer.
Okay.
That's how bad it is.
Yes, it is bad.
Now, this is from today. This is from the White House lying session with Huckabee S.
Oh.
And Jim Sciutto, as I like to call him. I have no idea how he pronounces his name. Is it Sciutto? Oh, yay me. Okay, so he says, President simply voicing his frustration is the press secretary's explanation for calling his former female aide a dog.
Oh, yes.
And I said, well, then his frustration is racist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then Phil Elliott from Time says, this press secretary says, this person has shown a complete lack of integrity. The president wanted to give her a chance. And then he says, we are going with this individual a la that woman of Clinton era. So they call her this individual and not that. But she's the president wanted to give her a chance.
Oh, my God.
He's giving the black woman a chance.
Yeah, isn't that mighty white of them?
It's so white of him. And Jonathan Capehart tweeted, this has, and this is quoting her, this has nothing to do with race and everything to do with the this person's lack of integrity, this person. Then Aaron Rupar from Think Progress quoted her, says, Sanders says Trump's repeated attacks on black people, quote, have nothing to do with race. She then refuses to say whether she's signed a non-disclosure agreement.
You know what this is like? It's like a TV show that is the most, all kinds of drama going on everywhere, but there's not one single character who you have any compassion for. There's not one.
Exactly.
You know, they're all despicable human beings. Like, you don't like any of them. That's
right.
What it is.
You know, I didn't watch Big Brother this summer, and we always have just because I don't know why we hate it, but we watch it.
Right.
We watched the first two or three episodes, I think. And I said, I can't do this. These people are so unlikable this time. So unlikable. So there was one guy who was clearly a Trump guy. They never said that, but it was, please, everything he said. And then there were a bunch of other just real stupid people, and a lot of them just consumed with their body images and all that. And I looked at that. So it's the same thing you're saying. You just mm-hmm. can't have sympathy for any of yeah. them, so you don't want to bother with them.
Right. There's not a sympathetic character among them. They're all ew. They all make your skin crawl.
Yeah.
There's nobody you're rooting for. Like, yeah, that's a good guy.
They're all completely despicable. Caitlin Collins of CNN, she was tweeting over Josh Dossie, who said, Sarah Sanders says the media should ignore Omarosa's book when asked why Trump is repeatedly commenting on it and attacking her. And then Caitlin Collins says Trump has tweeted or retweeted about it nearly 10 times in 24 hours. Wow. So we're supposed to ignore that.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Just ignore the book that yeah. he keeps tweeting about.
Right.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll just look at your tweets. Erica Orden, who is with CNN, tweeted, the president is an equal – she's tweeting press secretary. Press secretary said, the president is an equal opportunity person who calls things as he sees it. And then Jamie O'Grady, a reluctant lawyer, he says, you could literally see Sanders' microprocessor searching the dark recesses of her mind to find any word other than racist. And the president is an equal opportunity person.
Right.
Calls it.
Bigot.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Ashley Parker of The Washington Post, mm-hmm. quoting her, I can't guarantee anything, says press secretary, asked if she can stand at the podium and guarantee that the American people will never hear Trump utter the N-word on a
Ooh.
Recording.
Ooh.
I can't guarantee anything. Uh-huh. And then Daniel Dale follows that up with... on her refusal to guarantee there's no N-word tape, Sanders explains that she hasn't been in every single room Trump has been in.
Well, that's what Tripp just posted in the chat room. Sanders just said in her briefing today when asked if she's ever heard Trump say it, quote, I haven't been in every room with the president. She never once made a flat denial, just stated he's answered that question on Twitter.
Right. I have more from Daniel Dale here. Sanders says that if she and other Trump aides found out Trump was who his critics say he is, quote, we certainly wouldn't be here. Want to bet?
Mm-hmm.
You want to bet? Let's see. What's this comment from him? It says, Daniel Dale, it's interesting. On some things, Sanders is willing to do guns blazing denials in her own voice. On other things, she's careful to attribute the denials to the president. Asked to address concerns that the president is racist against African Americans, Sanders says he's probably said more nasty things about non-African Americans. Oh, that justifies everything.
Yeah, Mexicans, Muslims, Jews.
Yeah. I'm reading these cold. I hadn't seen these yet because we started the show mid Huckabee S.
Right.
Okay, not sure the president's spokespeople have characterized his insults as nasty before, but also not sure Trump would mind. That's from Daniel Dale. Asked about the NDAs Trump aides were forced to sign, she says it's normal in every administration prior to the Trump administration.
No,
it's not.
It isn't.
It is not. And then defending Trump against racism charges, Sanders falsely claimed Obama created just 195,000 jobs for African Americans over 8 years. In January 2009, 15.5 million African Americans were employed. In December 2016, Obama's last month, 18.3 million, gain of 2.8 million. Daniel Dale is a marvel at this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He is a marvel at mm-hmm. fact-checking. Anyway, that's today's. That's all done. Now I can look at the chat room when I talk a little bit. Because I have to look at my other browser when I do this. So I can now see you guys. Okay, so this is from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen the chat room up till now, you guys. So if you talk to me, I'm sorry. Rogue senior advisor, who I love. The Omarosa situation is ludicrous, but it is so perfectly Trump, you couldn't have scripted it better. Besides being a quasi-Nazi mental delinquent, Trump's worst flaw is a complete lack of understanding who people are. That she worked in the White House for a year is all you need to know.
That's true.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
KM Jeezy, a podcaster, said, Omarosa snuck a sharper image pen into the Oval, so imagine what the Russians have up in this bitch. This country is a shit show. Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't get the correlation between the Russians and the fact that she snuck a sharper image pen. I'm guessing a recording pen, that's how she recorded.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the Oval Office. It was the Situation Room, which is what everyone's so freaked out about.
I think he got that wrong. But yeah. I think what all he's saying is if she could do it that easily, then
yes. This country is a shit show.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, like they threw a soccer ball at him, yep. and it did have the wherewithal to record.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Kyle Griffin of The Last Word, mm-hmm. he's a producer. He said, the son of retiring Republican Congressman Bob Goodlatte is encouraging voters to back a Democrat running to replace him.
Yep.
And then following up on that from the son himself, Bobby Goodlatte, says, I'm deeply embarrassed that Peter Strzok's career was ruined by my father's political grandstanding. That committee hearing was a low point for Congress. Thank you for your service, sir. You are a patriot.
Yeah, the story about that. So this Goodlatte's son, Bobby Goodlatte, announced on Twitter on Sunday that he'll be donating to the Democrat running to replace his father, and he hopes to flip Virginia's 6th district. Quote, I just gave the maximum allowed donation to Jennifer Lewis, a Democrat running for my father's congressional seat. I've also gotten five other folks to commit to donate the max. 2018 is the year to flip districts. Let's do this. And by the way, Lewis supports Medicare for All, $15 minimum wage, and marijuana legalization, and she's running against the Republican Ben Klein.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. I've never said that in my life. Hot dog.
Okay.
What am I, like 80? Okay. The Hill had a story. Aides regularly tell Trump not to call foreign leaders at odd hours due to time zones.
Yes.
And the quote I have is, former National Security Council staffers and White House sources told Politico that the president's foreign affairs knowledge is lacking. At one meeting, Trump allegedly mispronounced Nepal as nipple and Bhutan as button, two sources told Politico. Tim O'Brien of MSNBC and Bloomberg then tweeted this, you say Nepal, I say nipple, and then one. Trump made up the country of Nambia. Two, he confused Iraq and Syria after bombing the latter.
Oh, God.
Three, he confused North and South Korea.
Of course he did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Four, he called Belgium a beautiful city.
Yes, he did that.
And five, I never knew there were so many countries.
And he said that too. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed.
I am humiliated. Hey, world, we are so sorry. We are all not like this. Honest.
We really
trust
aren't.
Trust us.
We really are.
Truly are.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Sarah Kendzior, I'm one-third of the way done. We are moving along.
Yeah.
Sarah Kendzior, I have three tweets from her that she did a little thread here that I just thought was interesting. She says, now you can, and she specializes in the whole Russia story mm-hmm. thing. She's really
Atlantic,
into this, and she's
right.
been sounding the alarm for some time with high intelligence, I might add. She's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, now you can add Peter Strzok to the politically motivated firings of officials who spoke out about Trump's corruption and illicit dealings with Russia. This is a slow motion purge, and it will not spare anyone outside Trump's inner circle, which will become smaller over time, which is, by the way, how he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on to say, Trump, like any autocrat, aims to rewrite the law so that he can break it. Exactly.
Yeah.
As he purges the officials who investigate corruption, he packs courts with judges who will exonerate him regardless of evidence. That's really important, everybody.
Yep. That's what he's trying to do.
I'm sorry?
That's what he's trying to do with his packing of the courts.
Yes. I mean, this is something that will last generations. So even if we get some good, decent people into office, they will still be affected by these court decisions all the way up to the Supremes.
Yep.
So, poopy. And this is the last of her three. This erosion of justice and accountability is an entirely predictable consequence of having a crime family in the White House. This is a dynastic kleptocracy, and the longer they are in, the worse it will get. Those who still have the power of the law need to use it now.
Yep.
And she capitalizes now.
Yep. Did you hear that Trump's talking about what a natural Don Jr. is at this campaigning stuff?
Oh, he's very much in demand. People are asking him to do speeches and do campaigns events with them. Yes, he is the up-and-coming Trumpy. Daddy, does that mean I'm not the next president? But Daddy, you promised me. Daddy, I won't sit on your lap unless you favor me, Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Daddy, I love you. Tommy Christopher of Share Blue said, Trump attacks Omarosa. ignores 1,427 dead Americans in Puerto Rico.
There's actually more than that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But that was his tweet. So
yes,
on
got
that.
It. Got it.
But that's the point being Trump ignores everything that's supposed mm-hmm. to be something we don't ignore. And he does everything against the people we think are good. And he does everything for the people we think are bad. And we hate him. That's my analysis.
Okay.
My sophisticated analysis.
I gotcha.
Thank you. Sam Stein of the Daily Beast says mm-hmm. the president seems to be in a good place right now.
Oh, yeah. I was going to give him a ding. Oh, my thing is down here.
Your ding is off.
My dinger was down.
You lost your ding a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yashar Ali, again, of New York Magazine, refers to Michael Cohen tweet denying Omarosa's allegations that Trump ate paper, of all things. And the president, he then tweets, the president has retweeted a tweet by his former personal lawyer who was turned against him and recorded conversations with him in an effort to fact check his former staffer who also recorded conversations with him.
Oh, God.
Ah!
Yes. Make it stop.
Help me. Neil Bortz, this is a guy who blocked me.
Well,
I blocked. I don't remember which.
You should have blocked.
I'm sure I did.
He was a right-wing hate talker.
Oh, yeah, I did block him. Yeah, he didn't block me. I blocked him. Oh, hi there, Hamilton. Hamilton is up from his nap.
Aww.
So if you hear anything barking, it's him, not me.
Okay.
Neil Bortz said... Omarosa won't be prosecuted for her crime because she's black, and that would cause a shitstorm. That, my friends, is an example of black privilege.
What crime?
Whatever they're suing her for now.
Breaking the non-disclosure? That's not a crime. That's a civil thing, but okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what he's saying. And then IJ Bailey of CNN replied, when you know nothing about the U.S. justice system, you are prone to say something as uninformed as this.
There you go. Maybe that's why he's an ex-talk radio guy.
Exactly. Okay, our buddy, Jeff Tiedrich.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think I have. Did I not? I knew I heard something. I hope you haven't been hearing it. I forgot to mute our site when you were on the air, and I thought I was hearing it in the background. I'm very sorry.
I'm not hearing anything.
You didn't hear it. Good. I'm glad. I was hearing very faintly, and I always mute it, and I just forgot. I'm very sorry about that. Jeff Tiedrich, our buddy, said, thank God we elected a guy who hired Omarosa and allowed her the freedom to wander all over the West Wing and secretly record conversations with just about anyone and not the lady who was careless with three emails. We really fucking dodged a bullet there, didn't we? He's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we did. Uh-huh.
I have you know that Hamilton has taken to his little bed and is being his sweet
Aww.
Boy. Brian Klass, a political scientist, said the president of the United States is saying that a senior employee that he personally decided to hire was vicious and not smart, and everyone in the White House hated her,
mm-hmm.
and his chief of staff said she was a loser, but he kept her in a senior position because she flattered him.
And that's exactly right. You know, I don't know if I can find this tweet. The tweet when he said, you know, everyone said she was a loser and, you know, all this stuff. But she always said good things about me until we fired her or something.
Yes, that was that tweet from yesterday. Yes. Yeah, she was great.
Here it is.
Okay.
Okay. It was a two-parter. Wacky Omarosa, who got fired three times on The Apprentice, now got fired for the last time. She never made it, never will. She begged me for a job, tears in her eyes. I said, okay. People in the White House hated her. She was vicious but not smart. I would rarely see her, but heard really bad things, nasty to people, and would constantly miss meetings and work. When General Kelly came on board, he told me she was a loser and nothing but problems. I told him to try working it out if possible because she only said great things about me until she got fired.
He's like 10.
Yes.
What a baby.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. What a
unbelievable.
Baby. It's so humiliating. Oh, Stormy Daniels.
Yes.
I love this tweet. When will people learn? You can put a lot of things in my mouth, Words are not one of them.
I just read she's going to do some celebrity, maybe Big Brother, some celebrity reality show.
Oh, wow. That'll be
fun. I think it's Big Brother. I don't watch that one, but I think that's what it is.
Well, they just did the last Big Brother that I watched was the celebrity one, and it was a lot more palatable because the people are more polite, you know, better at being in front of cameras.
Yeah, but the celebrities are like Omarosa is a celebrity. I'm sorry.
Being a reality show
contestant does not make you a celebrity.
Oh, right. Totally different topic, though.
Yes,
I'm just saying that they're better at what
they
do, so that it's more fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You're not stuck with a bunch of just total ignoramus. Well, usually you're not. So if she's going to be on Big Brother, that might be fun to watch. Because they try to choose people.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, this last one, though.
See, I like watching. I watch Survivor. That's the only reality show that I watch.
Oh, I used to watch that, yeah.
I watch Survivor. And I'd love to see them do a celebrity Survivor. I'd love to see some real, you know, pampered people have to fend out there for themselves.
I watch Naked and Afraid because my husband
produces it. I know.
All right, I'm almost done. We've got a couple minutes here. I tweeted... Think about this. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Trump's ex-fixer slash lawyer feels it's necessary to defend the president of the United States against charges of eating paper. And Cheeto Facts says, this is 2018, all in one tweet.
There you go. That is this year. Oh, God.
Unbelievable. Daily Beast tweeted out, the White House has exempted comms director Bill Shein from federal ethics rules so that he can take meetings with Fox News, his former employer. Frieda Gittes of CNN, I hope I pronounced that right, said exempt, in quotes, from federal ethics rule. The entire White House has taken a waiver on morality.
Yep. This is sickening.
So true.
Sickening.
Samuel Sinyangwe, I hope I got that right. He's an activist. He said a party where 8 in 10 people support racism is a racist party. And he was, this is quoted, he quoted the CBS poll where Trump's handling of racial issues showing GOP approves 83% to 17% disapprove, and Dems are the opposite. They disapprove 10%, and they approve 10% and disapprove 90%. So he's right. 8 in 10 people supporting racism makes the GOP a racist party.
Mm-hmm. I go along with that.
Absolutely. There's no denying this.
Nope.
I don't know why people keep trying to say, no, not necessarily. Ryan Riley of Huffington Post said the ACLU on White House NDAs, quote, Donald Trump cannot muzzle federal employees. The First Amendment protects federal employees' right to speak in a private capacity about matters of public concern, unquote.
Uh-huh. There you go. Well, that's why it's not the White House suing her. It's the campaign.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Not Peter Strzok, who everybody thought was Peter Strzok until he changed his handle because he had it as Peter Strzok and he couldn't do that.
Yeah. And now Peter Strzok, though, is really on Twitter and he is tweeting now, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's under his own name.
Yes.
And he has a check mark. He has a verified account.
Yes.
But not Peter Strzok had a good tweet, and I'm ending on this one. Mm-hmm. I have been fired for expressing my personal opinion in private texts about a dictator that history will soon deem not only a Russian asset, but an unhinged madman threatening the sovereignty of the United States of America. But a boom.
There you go.
That's it, right there.
Yep.
He should be the real Peter Strzok.
Yeah,
it would have been fun.
This guy went off on some tangents, whoever this person is. And at first I was thinking that was the real one, knowing that I had followed the real one.
Yeah.
And I
got
very confused for a moment or two there.
Yeah. No, it gets confusing. I am glad they did verified. I can't get one. I can't get a verified account.
Because you don't use your real name if you use your real name.
Right, but they do say in the thing, if you don't use your real name, send us your driver's license information and prove who you are. And I did that. And I told them the reason I don't use my real name is because I have stalkers that will not give up. And so you would think they would make exceptions for that because I am a legitimate person, but no.
Yep.
So
That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I've got two quick ones for you. One is from Mark Knoller of CBS. New Quinnipiac poll shows 59% of American voters surveyed dislike POTUS, 31% like him. Among Republicans, 66% like him and 24% don't. The poll shows by 54 to 41% they disapprove of the job he's doing as president. That's a Quinnipiac poll, which I think is more reliable than the ones he's citing that show him with better numbers than that.
That was CBS, I believe.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And
whatever.
Tim Canova. Tweeted about, he wrote, politicians like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, DWS tweets, owned by big sugar and big agribusiness, are causing these deadly toxic algae blooms and preventing any kind of environmentally viable solution. Our campaign is the complete opposite. We won't take a penny of toxic corporate money. And I say this because Tim Canova is going to be on the show tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
well,
I texted him, and he's in in Fort Myers out there on the west coast of Florida looking at the red tide and seeing where all the sea animals are dying. It's really horrific. And the news stories that report on it aren't saying anything about big sugar, and that's one of the big causes of it. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a big supporter. Anyway, more on that tomorrow. Bye!